If you have a Bible, I'd like to ask you if you would to turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. If you don't have one, and there's one in the pew, it's page 1065. What I would like to do is just continue with a focus on the incarnation, as our choir has already led us in that so wonderfully. I would like to continue our focus on the incarnation, God becoming a man, Christ coming into the world, the God-man. I would just like to say a few things about that from John chapter 6, because the incarnation, that is Christmas. That is Christmas, and we want our focus to be there today. In the sixth chapter of John, I'm going to be reading from verses 32 through 35. As I heard one Bible teacher say, the incarnation is veiled in these verses. So listen closely as I read these verses and just look for the statements of incarnation. The context is Jesus has just performed a miracle and feeding 5,000 people, huge miracle, 5,000 plus, I might add, and they're looking for more miracles. They're looking for Christ to do more things, and in that context, we have this idea of bread, that metaphor is used here. Verse 32, Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven." Listen for incarnation. Verse 33, "For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven," see it, "and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." See, Jesus Christ's bread comes out of heaven into the womb of Mary. That's incarnation. Out of heaven. From heaven. Go down to verse 41. Repeats this in verse 41. The Jews were grumbling. Why are they grumbling about him? Because he says, "I am the bread that came down out of heaven." Out of heaven entering into the human race. Go down. This thread continues in verse 50. "This is the bread which comes down out of heaven." There it is again. "So that the one may eat of it and not die." Verse 58. Continues, he kind of ties it together, and he says this in verse 58, "This is the bread which came down out of heaven." So in each of these verses, Jesus coming into the world from heaven to be living bread for us. He came to Bethlehem, interesting. Bethlehem means house of bread. The living bread came out of heaven to the house of bread. Think about that. Appropriately named, wouldn't you say? Now, there are several things I want to point out to you in the time we have here this morning about this bread. That's probably one of our favorite metaphors as Christians, is it not? Think of bread. He is the bread of life. Look at some things that we can observe here. Notice the identity. Who is this bread? Now, it might be obvious, but just follow with me. There's a reason for this. The identity, go to verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." So Jesus is saying he is the bread of life. You see in verse 35 of John 6. You see that in verse 41. They got mad at him because he said, "I." Jesus said that, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread that comes down out of heaven." Notice in verse 48, direct statement. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And in verse 51, Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven." Say that because he uses that term, "I am." If you study the book of John and you go through the book of John, and this is the first of the "I am" statements by Jesus. He says, "I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the living water. This is the first. I am the bread. What's even more significant is the term I am. It takes us back to the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, at the burning bush scene, God tells Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let your people go. Or let my people go. And Moses says, by what authority? Why should they listen to me? And he says, I am who I am. That's who you tell them sent you. I am who I am. So what is Jesus saying by his use of the I am statements? Making himself equal with God. You remember the scene with the Pharisees? Who are you? You are no one. You're not greater than Abraham. Oh, yes, I am greater than Abraham. What does Jesus say? Before Abraham was, I am. I made Abraham. I existed before Abraham. I am the self-existing, the always existing one. He makes himself equal to deity when he makes those I am statements. He makes seven of those. This is the one, I am the bread. I am. I am the bread that comes out of heaven, incarnation. Came into the world, into the womb of a woman in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Second, notice something else that is said about this bread. It's not of this world. Important. It's not of this world. It's from heaven. We've seen that in verse 32. I'm just going to take you back and let you see these words so you can see yourself. It's good to walk out of here this morning with black letters on white pages because you're going to forget things, okay? So it's good to have it in front of you to see these things again. But this bread is from heaven. It's not of this world. It's not something that man has designed. Understand that. This is of God. This is not some religion people started up. This is something from God. It's out of heaven. Verse 33, comes down out of heaven. Verse 51, came down out of heaven. Verse 58, came down out of heaven. Why did I tell you all that again? Because I want you to understand this is the pre-existent Christ. Understand that. He did not start in Bethlehem. Yes, the man Jesus did, but not the God-man, not Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. He existed beforehand, and he came. That's what I want you to see there. Remember in our study in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Remember, I told you in that verse, sacrifice and offering you have not desired. That is the second person of the Trinity talking to the first person of the Trinity. The blood of bulls and goats, you're not pleased with, God the Father. You're not pleased with those things. Therefore, I, God the Son, will do what? I will take that body that you have prepared for me. You see, he was preexistent. He was preexistent. It's just as Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9, for unto us a son is given, not born. No, a child is born, but a son is given. Pre-existent, Son of God, given, bread came down. Follow me to the next point that we see here, and that is in verse 33. Something else you learn about this bread. It gives life. Wow. This bread gives life. Appropriate metaphor. It gives life. This bread that God gives to the world, there's life in eating this bread. To those who receive this bread, there is eternal life, it says. The implication is if you don't have it, you're going to die. That's the implication. If you don't have it, it's death. Not talking about physical death, talking about spiritual death. If you don't have this bread, spiritual death. Notice verse 49 of John 6. your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died, meaning they were sustained physically by that manna, but they died physically. Verse 50, but this is the bread which comes down out of heaven, incarnation, so that one may eat of it and not die. See that? That's verse 50. You will never die spiritually. I read in the paper this morning, a guy who I've known for a long time, he passed away. And all I could think about when I read that obituary this morning was how much that man loved Jesus and how much he shared Christ with people. And he even went on the foreign field in his 80s. And I just thought, I know where that man is. He died physically, but he went into the presence of God. He went into the presence of Christ. He did not die spiritually. He died physically, yes, but not spiritually. Notice who gives us this bread in verses 32 and 33. Notice what the source of this bread is. Look in verse 32. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. The source of this bread is God. Verse 33, for the bread of God. See that? The bread of God. Listen, the church cannot give you this bread. We cannot put it together for you. We did not invent this bread. You can't get this bread from the world. The world does not offer this bread. God gives this bread. God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his son. He so loved the world, he gave his son. To you and I who are enemies of God, rebels against God, God loved us and sent his son to die for us. But Romans 5, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Understand that. God is the source of this bread. Only God can give it. It's a true bread. You see that in verse 32. It's a true bread. It's not a counterfeit bread. It's not a substitute bread. It's the real thing. The world offers all kinds of breads. Be careful what kind of bread you're offered. Be careful what kind of bread people bring to you and say, here, try this, eat this. There's only one true bread. One true bread. It's the bread that God has given. It's the bread from heaven. It's the living bread. It's the true bread. The world promises a bread that will satisfy, but there's no nourishment in all the bread the world offers. But there's nourishment for your soul. There's salvation for your soul in this bread. I like what verse 35 says. It's a bread that satisfies. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Who comes to me will not hunger, and who believes in me will never thirst. It satisfies. Isn't that what you want? Is to be satisfied? Isn't that the longing of your soul? I want satisfaction. I want peace. I want contentment. I want joy. I want life to have a meaning and a purpose to it. I want something that reaches beneath the surface and goes into the deeper inner being of my soul and satisfies. This says the person, says the bread of life who comes to me will not hunger. Believes in me will never thirst. That's this true bread. That's this living bread. This bread that came from heaven, that came down from God. That's the promise that's made here. That's what we want. We drink from broken cisterns, just like they did in Jeremiah's day. Cisterns that do not satisfy. They promise to satisfy. Counterfeit breads promise to satisfy, but they don't. We drink at them for a while and we find out they don't satisfy. Just like we attach ourselves to false vines. And he says, I'm the true vine. Same idea. You do. We all do. We find idols and attach ourselves to them to find only what this true bread can give us, and that is true satisfaction. Those things leave us very, very empty. He says, take one bite of this bread and you'll never thirst again. Take one bite of this bread, he says, and you will never be hungry. You may go through difficult times, and maybe you're here this morning and you're going through a very difficult time. He doesn't promise to take away the difficult times. He just promises to do something inside of you that will sustain your hungry soul in the midst of whatever it is you're going through. And I think this is an important observation to make as well in verse 51. Notice in verse 51, this speaks of Easter. It's important that you talk about the incarnation, but you've also got to talk about Easter. Verse 51. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. That's incarnation. That's Christmas. And he says at the end of the verse, and the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. That's Easter. That's the crucifixion. You see that? This bread is offered up on an altar to God. That's what he's saying. It speaks of the fact that this bread was in submission to the will of God. To do thy will, O God, Hebrews 10 says. To do thy will, O God. I come to do thy will, O God. Remember I showed you that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. He says that Christ has inaugurated for us through the veil, which is his flesh. When the veil was torn in two in the temple, that was a picture of Christ's flesh being torn for us so that we might have access through him. Follow that? The veil in the temple kept people away from God, but when Christ said it is finished and the veil was rent in two, the picture was access to God is now possible through Christ. That was simply a picture of what was going on the hill down the road where Christ's flesh was being torn, ripped, that he might be the one that gives us access to God. His flesh was torn for us, and that's what he is saying here. God gave the bread. God gave Christ his flesh for us. And then something very, very important I want you to notice is the definite article, the, that appears in John 6:35. The bread. Definite article. You see that in 6:35? I am the bread. 6:48, I am the bread. 51, I am the bread. 58, this is the bread. I simply say that because a lot of people say there are other breads, and they're not. This is the only bread. Christ is the only way. I heard a pastor say the other day, a pastor claiming to be a pastor of the Church of Jesus Christ, I heard him say the other day, well, it's the way for me, but it's not the way for everybody else, maybe. I don't want to be judgmental. No, it's the only way. Only way. It's exclusive. There's only one bread from heaven, and that bread is from God. And God says he is the only way, the only true bread. So we got a vivid picture, right? Would you agree? Vivid picture of the incarnation in John 6. Vivid picture. What do we do with this? How do we respond to this? You can't just know about these things. What do you do? Look at verse 35. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Okay? It doesn't say come to church. It doesn't say come to Bible study. Those are great things, but it doesn't say do that. It says come to me, the bread from heaven. And believe. I think of coming. I think of going towards him to embrace him. I think of leaving other things behind to come to him. I think of turning away from other breads, self-righteousness, whatever it is, and coming to him, believing and trusting him. You want to see something even more vivid to explain what he means by that? Look down in verse 51 and following. Let me just tell you what's in there before I describe it, before I read these verses to you. In these verses, he is going to talk about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Follow me? I am the bread, and you must eat this bread. You want a more complete picture of what it means to come and believe? Think of this term, these terms with me. Eating. I'm not talking about cannibalism. I'm not talking about eating a literal body of Jesus Christ or drinking a literal blood of Christ. And we have communion. We don't change that blood, that cup into the blood of Christ and that bread into the body of Christ. We are not literally eating the body of Christ or literally drinking the blood of Christ. We're not saying that. Those are simply symbols. This is pictorial language. But it's a language you and I understand. When I think of eating something, I think of like bread. It's not enough just to admire the bread. It's not enough just to say, wow, that smells good. I must eat it, right? It does me no good outside of me. It does me no good to look at it and to think highly of it. What a great teacher. What a great miracle worker. What a very compassionate man you were. It does me no good to have those kind of thoughts. I must eat it. I must take it in. I must take it in. It must get inside of me. I must swallow it. Wow. I must swallow it. That's commitment, would you not say? I can put it at the tip of my tongue. I can smell it. Until you do this, folks, you're just marginal. You're just marginal. You can go to church and just be a sniffer. That's the aroma of all of this smells so good. These songs sound so pretty and wonderful. But until you eat it and swallow it, look in verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. And then he moves down to verse 51. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. See? Not just sampling it, not just observing it, putting it inside of you. Verse 53. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. You have no salvation. I don't care how much you like it, like Jesus. I don't care much how much you admire Jesus. You have no salvation unless you eat and drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, verse 54 says. Verse 56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. Get that? Lives in me. There's a union there between Christ and the one who eats of him. That's part of him. When you eat something, it becomes part of you. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's the union that I'm talking about there. Notice in verse 57, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he will also live because of me. In verse 58, this is the bread which comes down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died, but he who eats this bread will live forever. That's what I must do. You follow me? Come to Christ, believe in Christ, eat Christ. Eat the bread that came out of heaven. He's the only one that can satisfy our hungry souls. This is what you get. Verse 33, you get life. When you do that, you get life. He says he gives life to the world. Understand that. It doesn't mean the whole world is saved. Understand that's not what that is saying. That means if people, and this message is for the whole world. That's what it means. If anybody is saved, if anybody in the whole world is saved, it's because they've eaten this bread. That's what he's saying. This is a message for the whole world. All humanity has the same problem, and this bread is the solution for everybody. It's the true bread, the living bread, the bread from God. There's no other breads out there. Counterfeit breads, yes, but no true bread, only one true bread. He is the only way. Look at verse 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. I told you this already. Just to say this, you know, I can throw a lot of pleasurable things at my life. I can fill my life with a lot of pleasurable things, but after all, they just don't satisfy. Even Christmas. I mean, you know, you know how Christmas is? It's so much excitement anticipating Christmas. And then Christmas Day gets here and you go, well, done that. Now move on, right? We're going to Disney World in 2 months. Da-da-da-da-da, excitement, excitement, excitement. And then Disney World comes and it's gone and da-da, we did that. You just take anything pleasurable, keep throwing it at your life, and just ask yourself, how long does it last? It's not long before I'm trying to find the next pleasurable event, right? That's us. That's our heart was not made to be satisfied by things on the outside of us. You understand that? Our hearts were not designed that way. The satisfaction is to be in God alone and not things outside of us. It's the reason the Apostle Paul could be in prison and say, I have much joy. Circumstances just never affected what was going on inside of here. Circumstances couldn't change this, what was inside. See, that's what this bread of life gives you when you eat it. It's inside of you. And it's part of you. We used to have a... remember when bread machines came out? Everybody had one, I guess. We had one. Come home. Oh, man. The house would smell like bread. It just smelled great. All I could think about was that bread. It smelled good, the aroma of it. All I could think about was waiting to eat it, getting into it. Here's the point. Outside of me, that bread did me no good. It gave me no nutritional value until I ate it. It became part of me. The downside of that is, in a physical sense, too much of that bread becomes part of you and you have to get rid of the machine. But the illustration holds, does it not? Spiritual sense, there's no nutritional value until I take that bread in. Simply, see, I think there's an aroma in this church. I do. I think there's an aroma in this church. These songs reflect that. The lives of many of the people who are Christians in this church reflect that aroma, and I think a lot of people are attracted to the aroma. But the aroma will do you no good. You must eat the bread to have this satisfaction. Verses 50. Look at verse 50. This is the bread that comes down out of heaven, and I'll close with this, so that the one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. You see all these verses? Verse 54, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And notice this, I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 55, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Wow. Verse 56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Verse 57, as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he will also live because of me. Verse 58, this is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died, but he who eats this bread will live forever. Hey, that is the good news of God, folks. That is the good news of Christmas. That is the good news of Easter. The good news of the resurrection, that's the good news. It doesn't get any better than this. I honestly tell you that. It is no better than this. The world offers nothing like this. So I say to you this morning, have you eaten this bread? Have you eaten this bread? Are you like a hungry beggar holding out your hand? I need bread, God. I need bread. That's the faith of coming to Him. I need bread. I can't save myself. I can't improve myself. I can't make myself worthy. I can't change myself. I can't do anything. I need the bread. The bread that came down. That's the bread I need. The true bread. The living bread. Thank you, God. Thank you so much for this time this morning as we have reflected in the singing of these songs. Speak of your incarnation. God, we just praise you. Adore you. God, we are just so grateful that you loved us. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. What love you showed to us, God. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.